A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Yotisby, Sportive Time. I can't believe it. We're back. We are back again. To the delight of probably nobody, because we scared everybody off, we are back for episode 333. I'm Brandon. John's here. Hi, John.
There were people who were excited that we were back like 3 weeks ago, and now we've done one 3 weeks in a row, and they're getting tired of us again.
All right. All right. That's enough. Slow your roll, pals. And that was the dulcet tones of One Chicken Finger 69. Hi, Chicken.
What is up, fuckers?
I heard you on Rand's podcast this week, Chicken.
Mm-hmm.
Really good. Really excellent performance.
As always.
I'm going to say thank you, but I'd put the percentage at about 75%. I'm 75% sure you're full of shit and I just yanking my tits.
Now, are you?
Yeah, but that's just who you are. That's just who you are.
Moving right along. Are you are you a confident enough person to listen back to it?
I don't think lack of listening back is about confidence. I think I don't think it's because I don't want to hear myself. It's just sometimes I will, I guess. This mm-hmm. time I didn't.
Okay.
If yeah. I remember to, like, he doesn't post it until, I don't know what it was, like, maybe 20 hours after we did it. So it's kind of like, oh, yeah, that's right. We did that.
Right. You're such an in-the-moment guy, you know?
Well, when he posts, I'm at work, right? So I'd mm-hmm. be like, oh, shit, I should listen to that on the way home. And then I don't drive home for 6 hours and I forget, so...
He's got a very funny way of like complimenting you at the end of he's a funny guy. He says stuff in a very exaggerated way, but he sometimes has he's not totally insane, everybody. Just a little.
I'll have to listen. So kind of a backhanded compliment.
Like, yeah. Yeah. I think you'd appreciate it. I think you'd okay. go. Actually, that is the nicest thing. Anybody, the best way for somebody to sum me up is his. Yeah, you'd like it. So it's worth going back to listen to yourself and all of your many fans that are listening.
He doesn't sweat much for a psychopathic maniac.
Mm-hmm. Like, oh, that sort of stuff. You go, thanks. All right. I keep it cool in the house.
I guess. Okay. I didn't know. Also, he interjected a little. Okay. I'll have to listen back.
You'd enjoy it. I got a chuckle out of it.
Yeah, I would.
My favorite thing about the whole thing is that Mike set off to be a serious journalist and really bring the news to people. He really wanted to do great things with his career. And when he started mm-hmm. this podcast, he wanted to make it as great as possible. And he's done really well. And yet all of a set of circumstances too complicated to relate has led him to say on his extremely good podcast, "Hi, I'd like to welcome Chicken Fingers 69. Chicken
Fingers 69 as the whole entire Like he has to say, like, you don't need to say the number, but he does for accuracy.
Is there anything more delightful than that right there?
It's so good. Yep. And he does the full formal every single time he introduces. Yep. I love it.
I'd like to welcome my friend, Mr. Chicken Finger 69 Esquire.
It's so stupid. It's so
JD. Stupid. Sir Chicken Fingers 69.
Governor Chicken Fingers.
I do have a laundry list of names for when this account gets taken down, you know, gets deleted or demanded.
Next time the Vikings are in the playoffs.
Laundry list. I got a laundry list of new names. I've thought about it. About that a lot, actually, probably too much about what the next names are going
to
be.
Yep. I'd like to welcome Mr. Horsefucker 420 back to.
Yes. That's one of them. That's one of them. How'd you know? Did I show you the list?
Yeah, your video is accidentally on. You're holding in front of it. Okay, let's get started. We got some fair amount of feedback about how confusing takeout beers was as a gimmick last week.
Really? Did you really? Are you?
Well, mostly just John's wife.
Yeah, my wife somehow was listening the next day and was sending me text messages from upstairs going, I don't get this. How many takeout beers is good?
What's the best number?
I said it couldn't be more simple, dear. One takeout beer equals 10 takeout. It's 10 takeout beers. Mm-hmm.
So maybe we'll, I was thinking, but I do like the ranking gimmick. I like that. So yeah. I went back, if you remember 2 years ago, and actually this is at the very heart of at the beginning of the pandemic. I didn't remember that part. We did a 64 team bracket of the best beers. Mm-hmm. And I had completely forgotten at what one. Do you guys remember what our beloved listeners decided was
cabin beer? Just arrived at the cabin or something like that, wasn't it?
Yep, cabin beer was number one. So now this bit we can just call it cabin beers because it's just easier. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to give zero cabin beers to a tree falling on your house in the middle of the night.
Yes.
That's understandable.
Sure. Not even a sip of a cabin beer. I got up to the cabin after a long Friday. I opened the fridge. Zero beers.
Raccoon That's... living in the fridge.
Raccoon. Mm-hmm. Rabid raccoon who bites me. Yes.
Bites in the crotch.
Yep. Crotch bite raccoon. That's what I give a tree falling on your house. Has it happened to either one of you? Have either of you had a tree fall on your home before?
I had during a storm, kind of like last night's. One time I had a huge part of a tree fall on my driveway, but not on the house.
Okay. Yeah.
So it was a little bit the same thing. Like, wow, I'm glad this turned out this way. But also now I've got a whole day of cutting up a tree with a chainsaw and dragging it to the tree dump.
Oh God. Yeah. That's a nightmare too. So 12:30 last night, I'm sawing logs, just deep sleep. The deepest REM. Is that the number? Is that the mm-hmm. deepest? Like full inception sleep.
Sure.
Yeah. Yep.
And, a sound so unbelievably loud. It like shook our house and we just both, you know, went from dead asleep to like high jump launching out of bed and just started sprinting around the house and still basically dead asleep. You know, like we hadn't really woken up yet because we didn't know what to do. Like if a fire alarm goes off, that's something, or if I don't know. And so the house shook like it was an earthquake and then all the power got knocked out and we sprinted into both the kids' rooms and they didn't even wake up. They're both just dead asleep. Yeah. It was incredible. And then we're kind of running around the house. I grabbed a flashlight and it felt urgent to find out what was happening. So we're running, with flashlights and just room to room. And there's like nothing wrong anywhere. So we're like, were we both exaggerating? Was it really that bad? And we didn't really know what to do, but instinctively it felt like it was outside. So started to look out windows and it was just like monsoon level. I've now just said it was an earthquake and a monsoon, like double both. Wind and rain and there was leaves blowing all over the place and finally realized after looking out one window that I looked up at the roof and an entire tree was on it. I'm like, oh wow, okay, well that explains it all. So tried to go outside. It was just too bad. It was pitch black and so basically just sort of realized, okay, it's bad, but our house is essentially intact. It didn't really get into the interior. It cracked the top of one of our ceilings, but it wasn't like anything interior. So try to go to sleep. I don't know if you've ever in the middle of the night, all of a sudden had your heart rate at about 220. That's not going to happen for a while. So just basically just stared at the ceiling for 2 hours, try to get to sleep and then came out this morning. And yeah, we have a 40 foot oak tree in our front yard that basically just split down the middle and it's about 20 feet from our house. So about half of that tree was on the top of our roof, today. And it was there was just so much tree. There was really, there's just tree everywhere. It obliterated our chimney. It's really incredible. Really? The whole, there was a 6 foot chimney and 4.5 feet of it just completely smithereens on the ground. A couple of them bounced off our neighbor's house. So to deal with her this morning and just like bricks all over the place. branches, leaves, splintered trunks, because it kind of splits at some point there too. I worked for many, many hours chainsawing, and it's still like I barely put a dent in it.
Right.
So, so yeah, that was my day. Like zero beers.
Wow.
Raccoon bite. Yeah.
That really does suck. I'm sorry. I'm happy that everybody, obviously,
sure,
everybody's healthy. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that sucks a lot.
No, it's part of it.
I just want to ask for 1 second. Mm-hmm. Before we started this, I asked, how is the house all right? And you said, yes, the house is fine. And that's an extremely strange way of expressing this tree cracked one of our ceilings and knocked the chimney off our house. That's not what I meant. When you said it was fine, that was not what I was expecting to happen in that story.
No, the interior is fine. Like if the crack in our ceiling is like you could be at a friend's house and you'd look and be like, hey, do you have a little tiny crack in your ceiling? They'd go, oh, yeah, all right. We'll get to it. You know, it's one of those. It's not like there's no water damage or really risk of that happening. The roof is completely fucked. The gutters, all that sort of stuff. It's but now it's just like the tree is still there. Like it's huge. There's no chainsaw.
Well, I was going to say, you're not going to take care of that. I'm going to go out on a limb. That's not a pun. I didn't intend that.
Oh, wow.
And say you are not going to handle this cracked 40-foot oak tree yourself.
You don't know me, man. I've branched out.
I don't know what's up.
What do you think?
You need to leave.
Damn it. Okay. Yeah, no, that's fair, but it's also like the dimension, like what's the radius, the width, the
diameter,
circumference
you're going for.
The diameter of this tree is, you can't even like comically like make your arms as wide as you can right now to try to turn it a circle. It's way bigger than that.
Somebody has to come in and do this for you. This is not.
Yeah.
Where would you start? Like, you don't have a chainsaw big enough. Like,
where do you get a 25-foot chainsaw?
I was thinking it'd be fun to call a friend and get one of those like 12-foot long saws that you like partner saw.
You know what?
Should we do that?
I'm not joking. But about a joke, but I am. So what you should do is call a friend and say, I need you to grab a chainsaw. And just it's going to maybe take 2 hours, maybe an hour. Can you come over this weekend and help me with the tree? It's not much. And just be there when he pulls up. It's just one tree.
Just drives right by.
No, probably an hour, maybe hour and a half.
Hey, Jim, this is the house. God,
maybe 45 minutes tops.
You go on the internet. Where do you even get one of those 25-foot long saws and two guys in flannel shirts you pay them by making flapjacks?
You have to
for
go
some
to
reason.
Some bar in like Roseau. They've got it above the bar. They just take it down. We're going to need this for the weekend.
Decorative long saw. Yeah, no, it's way too big for that. So I called my insurance company bright and early this morning because I knew there was going to be storm damage and I wanted to get on the front of all of this. Yep. And they said, cool, we have, whatever we contract with, we'll send them over this afternoon. They'll be there at 3. I was like, oh, that's awesome. Let's get started on this thing. And I was hoping what they meant by that was like 7 or 8 guys with a bunch of equipment would show up this afternoon.
Right.
It was one of those smart cars with a very young, tiny man in a polo shirt. Like, you're not doing shit here. You're just like estimating how long it will take or something. I was like, well, that's not helpful at all. So now we just live with this tree until somebody comes and takes it down. And he told me that they have to use a crane.
Sure. That makes, yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. Not the bird. Like, because that would be weird.
Yeah.
That would be odd.
I asked the follow up because you can't be. You just got to get clarity.
Sure.
Did you mean the bird? Oh, you didn't. Okay.
No.
I didn't think so. I was going to say, yeah, you shouldn't be the bird.
This guy in the polo shirt looks down at his flipboard, makes 3 more marks. I'm going to back on about $10,000 for.
Yeah, it's going to be $50,000. $50,000. That sounds right. Yeah, I was going to say at least 50. So yeah, I don't know. Just brush everywhere. I got a blister.
But the house is fine, by which I mean the chimney is gone, all the gutters are screwed forever, and the roof is done for.
That sucks.
But the house is fine.
Squirrels live in the house now.
Yes.
The blister on my hand is like legitimately almost a quarter size.
Yeah.
Oh. From the chainsaw?
From the chainsaw. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
And you know, there was part of some sick part of me when I woke up was like, I don't have to sit in meetings today.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go outside and like make some progress. I'm going to work with my hands. I'm going to use a chainsaw all day and I'm going to clean shit up. And that lasted for about 20 minutes when I was like huffing and puffing and I had like scratches everywhere. And I was legitimately 0.4% of the way done.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, never mind. This is not one of those fun work with your hands projects where you get a little office space mentality in you. And I was hoping it'd be that day. It was not that day at all. Oof.
Mm-hmm.
No bueno. Zero beers.
Zero beers.
Yep.
Zero cabin beers.
So that's
That sucks, Brandon.
Yeah. It's all good. Should we move on to brighter pastures?
Yes. Good. Unless we just want to call this tree talk for the week and just go from there.
I don't have much more to offer with the trees. I've always hated the trees, and now they're getting back at me. I deserve this probably in some regard. Yeah. Karma.
Yep.
Coming back to get me. Let's talk Twins. The Minnesota Twins.
There's a bunch of new Twins.
Yeah, let's talk new Twins. John, what do you give yesterday's activities overall?
Well, it really strikes, and I know Chicken feels the same way about this, but it really is like the Twins said that they were good at tree management. And then they spent a couple of years trying to cut down trees and having them fall over onto their own house. And now they've gotten a bunch of tree removal guys that they just traded for.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, they finally got tree removal guys. That's great. But if they just hadn't cut down all the trees so that they fell on their house, they wouldn't be in this mess.
Yeah.
So
okay.
To me, it feels a little bit like if you were going to do this, why didn't you try to do it not at the trade deadline? Why didn't you try to get better pitching before this? And, you know, again, we've talked already probably too much about Mike Rand's podcast, but I was listening to him and Pat Royce talk on Monday, and Royce pointed out that they really, if they had wanted to trade for Castillo or Frankie Montas or any of the real big name starters, they would have needed a lot better prospects than they had. Mm-hmm. And again, whose fault is that?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Chicken, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't one of the big things about the boy geniuses is that they were pitching geniuses?
That was part of my speech with Randall.
Yeah, you said this multiple times that what we were supposed to be doing at this point, the Twins wouldn't need to trade for any pitchers because they would have too many pitchers in their system for them to even get innings. They would have to not only have the St. Paul Saints as a Triple A team, but have an entirely new Triple A team just to make sure that all of the pitchers in their pitching prospect pipeline would have a place to pitch.
And are you sure that they promised that? That sounds like a pretty big promise.
No, they said, like, they called your town ball team, like, we're going to need our guy to pitch some innings. Like, can you just keep an opening? Because we don't have enough innings here in St. Paul. We have so many prospects.
We have too many.
Yeah.
Right.
And, I mean, how many years have the boy geniuses been around now?
This is year six, so 5.5.
Mm-hmm.
And
which I think is enough. I know where the Twins pitching staff was. Pitching staff, when I mean staff, I don't just mean major league level. I mean the whole in the organization. I know where it was at when they took over 5.5 years ago. Right. But that said, in 5.5 years, the Twins pitching should be further along than it is right now. And fine, let's say, okay, you could say, oh, maybe not at the major league level, fine, but they're not even just stacked in pitching at in St. Paul. the majority of their highest ranked pitching prospects were acquired in the last couple of years, last couple of seasons. Some of them were acquired in trades. So they weren't even drafted by this team. They were drafted by somebody else. So where are all these guys that they were supposed to draft and develop? That was supposed to be their MO.
Well, you can develop pitchers that without drafting them. Like,
of course you can, and then name them.
Yeah. I mean, Bailey Ober, maybe? He's like the shining jewel of this development.
Who have they done this with, Brent? I mean, again, it's not, we're not year two.
Joe Ryan they traded for, and then 12 minutes later they put him on the major league team. So you can't really count that as developed.
He's already developed. He was, yeah.
And I mean, the rest of their staff,
Duran,
Sonny Gray, yeah, Duran, Dylan Bundy, Devin Smeltzer.
We shouldn't be struggling this hard to name names at this point. And so this is where they're at in pitching. That's fine. I think, Brandon, you're asking for a letter grade or some sort of, maybe you're asking for a number of beers.
Taylor Rogers, does he count?
Well, he was acquired by the previous regime. I don't think they drafted him.
Yeah, but like he got better under them. You got to credit Wes Johnson.
Again, it shouldn't be this hard to, yeah, maybe you could, we shouldn't be sitting here in year six saying, yeah, maybe you can count him. Fine, there's two or three, right? In year six, there should be more.
Yeah, there might be more. I don't feel like looking things up.
So are you saying that you feel like they've been more successful at pitching development than
I don't know. I do feel, well, I don't know if it's about pitching specifically, but I do whine about them. And then I think that their record so far has been pretty good. I mean, have they not made the playoffs but you're going to say that's like the previous guys' teams.
Well, I would say it's a function of a couple different factors. Their best players, I think the players that are leading them in, if you want to say probability added or whatever metric you want to use, were drafted by the previous regime. That's one component of it. The other component is that they've played a lot of games within the division, and it is a historically garbage division.
Trash, homie.
It's really bad.
Uh-huh.
So I want to get you, I think you're just to circle back to your original question, you're asking about a letter grade for how the trade deadline moves that they made yesterday. On the surface, it's a B plus A. You know, they acquired really good players. But I'd also say that the homework was due in February. Like, this is, that's great.
I guess my question is, is this how you, I've never thought about a trade deadline of I'm taking a letter grade off because you shouldn't have gotten into this situation to begin with. Like, Shannon Stewart was a great trade, but I guarantee there was somebody that they fucked up drafting or developing or something where they shouldn't have needed Shannon Stewart.
They had a much stronger roster, and baseball had far less playoff slots at that time. It was a much stronger division at that time.
But just as an example, like they used him as a
supplement.
Rick Reed or some of these other guys of like, no, great trade, but we shouldn't have needed them.
No, they should. They needed.
You should never really need
three starting pitchers and three relievers, and they got one and two.
Yeah.
I mean, they only partially filled the hole that they dug themselves. I'm not going to give them a ton of credit for that.
Yeah, I guess I'm just saying that's what every, for the most part, trade deadline for a team is going for it. They shouldn't have necessarily needed to do that, unless you're talking about like the Yankees with Benintendi. I guess that's not really like a hole that they like.
That's my point.
They just made themselves fucking like unbelievable, like otherworldly.
Smoothing out the edges, filling in cracks here and there that a team might have, not this pitching staff crater,
right?
That they are slightly filling in with good players that they didn't give up, you know, even a top five prospect within their system to get. I like the trades on their own, just analyzing them simply as the player they got for what they gave up in return.
Yep.
And going for it and not punting on the season. I love every aspect of that.
Did you get to a point where you were like, oh, they made a trade. That's awesome. Another trade. That's great. And then you're like, okay, hold on. Like, let's just slow down. We're still going to get our asses kicked by the Yankees. You wanted more. Okay.
Cool. I wanted three more moves. Absolutely. Gotcha. Yeah. I think that that's what this team needs. If you're really saying you're going for it, then they needed probably three or four more moves, that even an outfielder.
Yeah. If they would have traded Miranda or Martin or like one of their top three guys, then I may have been like, Jesus, hold on. Like,
let's
not give away everything. I thought they did a nice job of like,
I agree.
The number six prospect, the number eight or 12 or somewhere in there of like, that's cool. They will be missed for sure. I get it.
I agree. But again, back to John's point, I think, what was it like over a month ago, they gave up that 4-run lead in the ninth that really shined a white hot spotlight on how bad this bullpen is, and things have only gotten worse since.
Was that cursed weekend?
I think that was part of it. We knew going into the season that this bullpen was bad. Then just before the season started, they traded away their best reliever, made their bullpen worse. The bullpen just continuously got worse as the season progressed, and they did absolutely nothing. And then right at the trade deadline, they traded for two very good relievers. So if you want to give them credit for that in its entirety, that's fine. But again, I like those two moves simply as they are, but taken in the entire context of the situation, I'm only going to give them partial credit.
So, okay, let's talk about, they got, technically, is it four guys? So Lopez, right?
George Lopez.
We got George Lopez, is great.
Baltimore really beat the 2017 Twins trading away Brandon Kinsler. Very much the exact same
thing. The exact same thing, right? They're like a game out of wild card.
They got back in the playoff race. They were getting close. Then they traded their closer and apparently the heart and soul of their team, Trey Mancini, because they were like, actually, we'd rather have 17 prospects that nobody has ever heard of.
Now, Baltimore got four prospects back when the Twins got one for Brandon Kinsler.
But yeah, I mean, I'm not, but at the same time, Baltimore has been bad since, they've been like the Detroit Lions of baseball for like the last 10 years. And they finally were not utter garbage. And their front office turns around and trades as their closer.
Yeah.
I don't have the energy
to look up the stats here, but earmuffs, chicken fingers. Kinsler, I believe, was kind of like a sarcastic air quotes all-star. I mean, he was good, but he wasn't.
Oh my God.
This dude's been like so much better than that guy. Right?
That was never the point, and you know it.
No, I know. I'm just saying, like, I know they got more prospects for him.
I know what you know.
The more offensive thing is the Trey Mancini trade. The dude is, John, as you mentioned, like, he is basically like the face of the organization. And just, he's basically baseball's Ricky Rubio, right? No one should ever have traded him, and they just did for basically no reason. Unbelievable. Okay, so that's Lopez. Then they got a catcher, right? Ponce de Leon.
Sandy Alomar.
Yep.
What is his name?
Sandy Leon.
Is it Sandy?
Kings of Leon.
Yep. And so that's obviously, and then Michael Fulmer, I believe, who was like an absolute stud as a rookie, Phil Fulmer. And then this kind of Doug.
Wait, is it your cousin Doug or your buddy Doug?
Cousin Doug. Their boy, he's my friend too. He's a good guy.
Yeah. Don't box him into this cousin corner, right? He's also a pal.
That's right.
And so I don't think he's going to be a huge impact guy. You know, it's kind of a margin play. And then, is it Maul? Is that who you say his last name?
I think it's Norman Mailer.
Norman Mailer. And they picked up Norman Mailer, who your casuals will say, I don't get it. He's got a 4.6 ERA or whatever it is, but he plays in a tiny little junior
slow pitch softball field.
It's 250 all the way around.
Yep.
And his peripherals, which we love peripherals around
here.
I'm
all about it. Yep.
Number one peripheral podcast on the internet. Show that he's a really good pitcher. Strikes out a lot of dudes, doesn't walk a ton, doesn't give up a ton of home runs. All the stuff that you should be able to control as a pitcher, he does. And so that guy is really the number one piece. Very, very exciting day.
Yeah, it was a lot of moves.
A lot of moves. Making moves.
Making night moves.
And we have Lopez. We have George Lopez, I believe, for 2 years.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
And then we've got Norman Mailer for at least a year. I got somebody I follow half, I thought think. That, well, yeah, this year, next year, and then there's some sort of like, it's possible if he does well, he'll be able to stay on.
Qualifying offer or something like
qualifying, that. Qualifying, which I'm going to pretend I know what that means.
So what you do is you make an offer. Mm-hmm. And with the offer, you offer a qualification.
Okay. Okay.
We're going to offer you a contract, but
and if that offer qualifies under those terms, then you proceed. And then everybody knows what happens from there. So we don't
unless there's a counter qualification, of course, but as we all know. But yes, that's in essence correct.
A counter qual.
Yeah.
A CQ, as we call in the business.
Sure.
Yeah.
So if they CQ, go back and forth,
it's a quad qual.
A quad qual. Yeah. And then you're going to get into,
the quad quals are when we really get into the weeds.
You know,
but everybody knows that already.
Yeah. We don't need to go there. Everybody gets it, you know. So they might make a QO.
Yep.
And so we'll see what happens after that. But we get a look at them. We get a free look, free peek
under the old hood.
Under the hood, curtains and sheets. We'll look at behind all of those. And so it's good. And then Maeda, still kind of around somewhere. Maybe he comes back.
I think so.
Maybe.
Pitching off a flat ground, it seems like maybe that's not as much progress as you'd hope.
No idea.
It's August.
I will tell you, I have probably pitched more than at this point, like 99% of humans, like innings pitched as a human being. Mm-hmm. And I don't really know what the difference between like why that's bad and a mound is different. I don't get it.
That's a great point. I don't either.
Yeah.
If you don't know, then nobody knows.
No, I have no idea. In the spring, before a season starts, and somebody like, hey, just go flat ground today. And like, okay, you got it. I wouldn't want to, I don't know, test my ankles on the mound. I'm not sure. Because I'm still like, throwing when forward.
When
right?
you have arm surgery, the real thing that you got to get used to is you got to build up those ankles.
Doesn't, yeah,
like you're on K2 or something. Like
what, still, it's it's a foot high.
It's not, it's a
and
foot.
It's very graded out. It's a very, it's not a. So I've just been like, okay, you got it. Yeah, flat ground sounds good today. Then maybe I'll progress. But doesn't make any sense to me. It's throwing the ball forward towards somebody, and if I go flat ground at 100%. That's somehow easier or better than if I go on a tiny little hill of dirt and go at a lesser percent.
That's why we ask the tough questions.
We do, and we do not answer them.
Nope.
This is
that's for you. That's
question.
For you, listener.
Why does the pitching mound exist?
The pitching mound exists because it gives the pitcher an advantage to get like downward motion that makes it harder to hit. And they can throw like the curveballs sink more and all that sort of stuff. Is it also easier? If it was a flat ground, the dudes would be hitting bombs, I think. Right? we shouldn't be recording this.
I don't know.
Should we press stop? Let's press stop and talk this through. And then
these are the kind of things I think about when we record in the middle of the night like we are tonight.
I've got up at 12:30 in the morning. A tree on my roof. No, I do feel confident that that's what the mound is for. And if you made it, the higher you made it, the harder it'd be to hit.
It's true. Mm-hmm. Because that in the 60s, they made it like 45 feet high and no one got a hit between 1964 and 1973.
Right. Yeah. Bob Gibson had that famous 6 years in a row with a zero ERA.
Yeah.
But I don't understand the strain on the arm thing. Like he's not able to go onto a pitching mound is pretty goofy to me. I don't know.
I agree.
Yeah. Good. Well, I don't, I'm very, I saw a headline that we increased our odds to make the playoffs because of these moves, which just sounds a little bit like a clickbaity sort of thing, but it stands to reason. That does make sense to me. Mm-hmm. They do feel now like, as we've talked about plenty of, like, they're good. Like, Chicken, were you here? I think you maybe had not logged in yet. I was comparing, actually, I don't even know why I'm telling you this. I was comparing this twin season to the Thibodeau, Jimmy Butler Wolves season of, like, they're good, but you're also miserable watching them every second.
Mm-hmm. I did not hear that.
Yeah. Yeah. Everybody loved it. The comparison. Well, John, he was the only one listening.
But I enjoyed it.
He said he liked it. Yeah. This does feel a little bit less like, I can't believe this team is winning. They're hard to watch. They're bad. And as you mentioned, just because they're playing shitty teams is why they're good. They do feel like a complete team now. Maybe you wanted a couple more pitchers, which I get.
A more complete team.
Absolutely. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
That's fair.
Three for sure. Legit starters. Still not enough, but that's good. And obviously their lineup has been awesome. And, Sano is gone. He's just he gone. But
they tried to get him back into the lineup before the trade deadline, even though no one in the league could possibly traded anything for him. And then what did he do? He played one day and then he slid into first base or something and he's hurt. I can't even remember what he did now.
I don't either. That or
yeah.
Man.
But the
what a career that guy had.
Very odd. One of one. There's nobody probably like him. Was very good and also the worst ever and impossible to watch. And then just carried a team on his back for like weeks on end. We'll have to think of some good comps for him because I'm not coming up with any. But anyway, I think some hopeful people before the year were thinking it'd be sweet if this Miranda guy could like take his place.
Mm-hmm.
And I did feel very optimistic because the dude was not like a longtime phenom. Like we knew Miguel Sano's name for like 5 years before he made the team, right? Because he was like this huge 16-year-old, you know, we spent a bunch of money on him, blah, blah, blah. There was like a movie made about him. And so that felt a little hopeful to me, but that's exactly how it has worked out. And the dude's been a stud. That's great.
He's been, so you mentioned this team not being particularly enjoyable. There are only a few players that are enjoyable, I think.
And, okay. Do you have a ranking order?
Miranda's certainly one of them. Well, I would say Buxton.
Number one still.
Is number one, in my opinion. I'd have to think about this maybe a little bit more in depth. Mm-hmm. But that's not what we do. We do things.
No,
so let's not think about it at all. Buxton would be one when he plays. I'm not saying he should play more. I don't want to get into that argument.
Okay.
But it's certainly the fact that he takes so many days off certainly hinders the enjoyment of watching this team.
Yes.
Again, it is not to say it's a bad idea.
No. Him. Not there's anything wrong with that.
No, those are two. I'm not saying he shouldn't play more. I'm not making that one way or the other. I'm simply, if you're only going to talk about the enjoyment of this team, having your most enjoyable player only play 60% of the time, whatever he's playing hinders that enjoyment. Can we at least agree on that?
100%.
Okay.
I wish he played more. Is that too?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
I understand what they're doing. I'm not saying I agree with it. I'm saying I'm clear on why they are doing it, but it certainly hinders the enjoyment of the team. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Miranda has been enjoyable. Kirilov. I mean, there's guys that are enjoyable to watch. Correa can be enjoyable to watch.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig.
Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Bryce Lewis was kind of this comet that shot across the sky and then left. But he was enjoyable when he was here. But that's kind of the point, right? Some of these guys are enjoyable and then they get hurt immediately. And Rocco is not in any way enjoyable. He's just not. He's not charismatic. I'm not saying he's bad.
No.
He might be really good. I don't know. That's not, again, not the argument.
Now, did you enjoy Guardy? Was he a higher enjoyment guy? Because he was maybe a little goofier, right? He probably had some funny quotes going on and, he yucked it up a little bit.
TK had charisma, right? He was weird. So there was charisma.
I'm having a hard time squaring TK with my memories because I was a little
younger.
I mean, I'm not like a child, but I don't remember him being, but I do remember him commentating, and he was a little boring.
He was boring as a person. I think when I think of TK, part of the enjoyment is derived from KQ and their characterization of him. He was a caricature. Mm-hmm. And a hobble, that's hilarious. And you can't, at least for me, that was right. And, I was 16 in 91. I was right in the prime. That was KQ was at its prime morning show.
God, KQ was so good.
I was 16. I was working construction, listening to KQ morning show in the back, right? And TK, and they were making fun of TK and the hobble, like that was enjoyable to me. Mm-hmm, right. So whether TK himself was actually,
it's the whole experience. Yeah.
That's it. So I look back at it fondly. I look back at him fondly because of that.
So it's maybe in terms of just like, I got the most enjoyment out of this guy being manager through his credit or anybody else's. It's TK number one, Guardy two, Rocco three.
Yeah, I would say so. And Paul Molitor is even probably milquetoast. Like he's more in the Rocco realm of
Jesus. I forgot about Paul Molitor.
He didn't do anything.
Yeah, they're the same to me.
Charismatic, right?
Yeah, a couple of bores.
But about the enjoyment of this team, they don't. There's only these few bright spots, but in its entirety, they're not a particularly. I hate this term, so I'm not going to use hardworking because it's not it. They're all Major League Baseball players, and they worked incredibly hard to get there. So it's a horrible. But Rocco takes these guys out in the fourth. He takes them out in the fifth.
Yeah.
Right. They get all this time off. It's cliche, but it does hinder the enjoyment of this team. Right.
Yeah. I want to watch the big dogs eat.
That's it. And I'm not saying it's a bad idea. I'm just saying it's a detriment to the enjoyment of the team, if that makes sense. So they just doesn't make him a particularly enjoyable product.
Yeah.
And I could be way wrong, and it's not fair to all the players, right? It's not. Well, yeah. Tough titty. Life's not fair. I don't know what to tell you.
Mm-hmm.
Can I just break in for a sec? I want to give you guys a Miguel Sano stat. I was just trying to look up here. So let's assume for a second that Miguel Sano's career is over, because I think it probably is. I think I just scrolled through this. I don't have one of those fancy stat head kind of things, so I can't necessarily say this, but I think Miguel Sano is only one of only two guys in baseball history to strike out 1,000 times without getting to 3,000 plate appearances.
That's remarkable.
Uh-huh.
The other one was Mike Zunino, who caught for the Mariners for about 10 years.
I forgot. And he was catcher. So he at least provided some.
A little different. Yep.
Yeah. Oh, and also we take him for granted, but Luis Arise is obviously an enjoyable player to watch. Like, you can't, I watch every part of his at bat, right? You can't
turn away. Buxton and Arise, I think, are for sure one and two. And then Duran is pretty cool too.
Yeah. And Duran, no, that's so there are flashes.
Yep.
And, but I don't know why. They exist. But for some reason, at least in my mind, they get overrided by everything else. And maybe that's me because I'm getting older. I am old. I think that's probably part of it. I think that's a big part of it. So maybe 23-year-olds are having more enjoyment with this. I don't know. Are they?
They're not watching baseball.
That's fair. That's probably true.
Yeah, it's a hard team to talk yourself into. Maybe they go on a run, though.
Hope so. That'd be fun.
Ryan's had his moments. Sonny Gray's had his moments. They do have, they're fun sometimes. Even Chris Archer's been okay from time to time. But again, it's what he, I feel like he pitches 3 2/3 innings most of the time. So, yeah, we'll see. But they're set up now. They got their guys. So we all agree.
We'll see.
Let's say 7.5 cabin beers to the trade deadline.
Out of how many again?
Out of 10.
So, but one cabin beer is not equal to 10 cabin beers.
No, in this scenario, the best thing you could possibly have is 10 cabin beers. Any more than 10, John, that is just fucking, that's ridiculous. You're getting into Irv territory at that point. You never want to go the full Irv at the cabin. 10 beers is the maximum. And I'm suggesting it's a 7.5 beer trade recap grade from us.
I'll say
Irv at the cabin has got to be like Pacino and Godfather. It's just like top of his game.
The perfect person in the perfect locale when this guy is at his peak.
No, that's accurate. Yeah, that's it. That you can't. Yep. Love him. Love him so much. What a great guy.
Okay, let's move on. John, did you want to talk about the very good hockey player, the Russian
Kaprizov?
Guy?
He's alive. He's alive, everybody.
That's it.
I'm looking at a picture of him right now at Canterbury.
John, I know.
Somehow, yes. I don't know how Chicken has these pictures, but apparently he's at Canterbury with Matt Dumba. Just they're giving PAs and firing down dollar dogs. Can you send me this picture? I want to see this picture.
Sure. Hold on.
Have you guys been to Canterbury recently?
No.
No.
I put Canterbury in with, I went to a comedy show Monday night this week. We're recording this on Wednesday. No. I'm just, no. can you imagine? No, it was downtown. I put Canterbury and comedy shows in this grouping of, every time I go, it's the best time in the world, and then I never go back.
Oh, interesting.
Mm-hmm. Like, I love going to Canterbury. We just went there a couple weeks ago with some friends. Great time. I'll go again in 10 years.
What do you love about going to Canterbury? I'm curious.
I don't know. I think it's probably low expectations. No one's ever like, we're going to Canterbury in 3 weeks. It's usually like, hey, we got a Saturday open, but I run down to, you know, whatever. So you go, oh yeah, fuck it, I guess. And you go, and it's easy to get in. It's not that expensive. They have some pretty decent beers. It's easy to find a seat. You bet on horses, and it's like you bet a couple bucks, and you can bet first through third, which is like, at least for our crew of people, like the common way to do it. So you can, you know, you bet $10, you win $4.75 back. And it takes it's a couple hours of pretty low key enjoyment, and then you go home and you're done. And it's just, I don't know. It's like a nice mix of like, if you decided on a whim to go to the Twins game, that's fucking awesome. That's the play. That's a great play, but that's like $300.
Yeah.
And it's really stressful, and you're either there for 3.5 hours, or you leave early, and I still am kind of in the thing of like, I feel kind of like an idiot leaving in the sixth inning because now I want to know what happened. And there's a little bit of like, it's busy, it's hard to walk around. Well, you know, this is just sort of like much lower level of that. And so the enjoyment is kind of built in, and it's great. It's always super fun. but not so fun that I want to go back constantly. I don't know.
Good synopsis.
I need to learn how to have fun at Canterbury or whatever.
I just don't understand. I need to learn how to have fun.
I just don't understand. Every time. Well, yeah, period. I do. That is accurate.
But. How do you, I'm confused at how you go to Canterbury and you're like, I don't get this. This isn't fun at all. Like, it's cheap and it's easy and you sit and you watch horses. Are you like, you're mad that the horses get whipped?
It's like, we're going to bet on the horses. And it's like buying pull tabs.
It is
lottery scratchers.
You don't enjoy pull tabs? What the hell are we talking about? No.
I never win a pull tabs. I never win a lottery scratcher. Yeah, but see, the know what I'm doing.
But John, pull tabs and lottery scratchers, they take like 4 seconds. Like, it's immediately done. This is like, at least there's some build up and there's the funny names. And you stand in line and maybe your kids need to be a little bit older, because I think it's a little bit more fun to go with kids. If you go there and like take it seriously, then that you're probably that's not what Canterbury's for. That's a little goofy. You go there and they go, oh, this is it's funny, you know, we'll go get this this horse. And, you know, like that's the extent of it. You do need to learn how to have fun, John.
John, you would not enjoy late night at Irv's cabin then, because we get on
horses and
we bet the ponies. Because late at night, it's in Australia, obviously, because Canterbury is not open at 3:30 in the morning.
You've tried. We've knocked. Hello.
Open up. Nose pushed up against the glass.
I know the horses are in there.
I can see them. There's breath coming up.
There's horses in there.
And they in Australia, they got weird names, like they're Whipplethorpe Downs, and like, but they're still horses, and so you're watching on TV, and then you bet online, obviously, each race, and you would not enjoy that then.
I don't know.
It doesn't sound like you're taking it serious. Like, you're reading.
I would be real confused. Who's the jockey?
Who owns the horse? That's right. What are the conditions? How have they been racing?
Is there a racing form do you read the Australian racing form?
It's upside down, but yes.
Gotta stand in my head to read this damn thing.
It's worth it though for the insights.
Yeah.
Something to do.
Huh, John, I was not expecting somebody to come at me with Canterbury's not that fun.
I think it's,
I was a real curveball.
Or pull tabs aren't fun. What the hell?
The closest thing to the truth here is that I don't know how to have fun.
No, I'm John. I'm actually
the most accurate thing of all.
Chicken finger 69. I'm sorry. I'm actually with John on pull tabs. They're not fun to me at all.
You both are.
They don't take long enough. I need some enjoyment. I want to do bingo or the meat raffle. That's the good shit.
Okay. All right.
Click. I just got $10 is gone immediately right there.
Okay. This is how we play pull tabs now, our group.
Okay.
You each throw in 20. So let's say it's a group of five guys. Okay. Or four, maybe you went golfing, so it's a foursome. And now you got $80. You go buy pull tabs. You got 80 pull tabs and you throw them in the middle of the table. You don't each get 20. There's 80 pull tabs in the middle. And you go around in a circle and you're having beers and you're bullshitting and stuff. And each person individually pulls them. And each tab at a time, you do this slowly. If you get, and then
you strip tease it,
Ooh, there is also,
you know how there, I don't know how often you play pull tabs. There's different levels of boxes. So there's like the $1 tabs, and then there are like the $5 or even more expensive tabs.
La-di-da.
So let's say you buy $80 worth of $1 tabs, and then you buy, let's say, an additional $20 worth of $5 tabs. You have four or five. So you pull a tab. If you get a line, you do it slowly. So all you can see is that you got a line. You don't know how much you've won. Okay. If you get that, then you get to pull again until you haven't got a winner. Right. And you set these lines aside so you don't know how much you've got. And until that, you keep going around in a circle. If you pull a winner, you get to pull another one. Keep going around in a circle until you get all 80 of them are gone. Then you start opening up the ones with the lines to see if you have any big winners, $200, $500, $1,000 winners, okay? And if you do get a big winner, then you get to pull one of the big pot ones to see if you get one of the big dogs that you can win, let's say $2,500 from. Then you get one of those $5 tabs if you get one of the big winners. So you get to double down. So then it starts getting more exciting.
You just said
that. That just does sound way more exciting than my pull tab experience.
You stretch it out.
Yeah, you just said the word if like 75 times, though. If this happened, like it never happens, doesn't it? Like you got 80 of them, three of them were winners, two of them were $1, and one of them was $40.
Sometimes.
There's just so much.
We went on Friday, and the very first pull tab that I pulled, five hondo.
No.
First one.
Give me a break.
First one. Very first one. Happens.
Wow.
That's the magic of Chicken Finger 16. And that's just how he goes through life. Good things happen to him.
Guess how much after that we spent on pull tabs?
$1,500.
$500 worth of pull tabs were then purchased eventually as the night went on. Then we don't need to talk about that part.
No. Stupid.
Maybe the universe is just sort of equalizing through the podcast. Like over here, we got Chicken pulling a $500 pull tab, and then it's ruined this guy's house. I'm Brandon's house.
I don't know what to tell you. Let's take a hint.
$500, baby.
I don't know. I don't know much about God, but I know who he loves more.
The guy who lives in the town with all the great church architecture, right there.
I don't know what to tell you. The point, the overall point is you're extending it out more.
And okay, then, like, well, let me ask you then.
People start screaming, like, ooh, you start getting excited. And then if you pull a big dog, then they're screaming. You can run around the bar.
There's nothing better pulling a big dog. Is there, if you could choose the evening, would you choose pull tabs or bingo?
Pull tabs.
You're pull tabs guy.
I think I played two hands of bingo in my life. And okay. I think both of them were like in fourth grade because we had a substitute teacher. I don't remember. Mm-hmm. I don't think I played a lot of bingo. I could be.
It was food pyramid bingo.
It may be way more
starch.
Way more enjoyable than I.
Yeah, I came but into
you
it pretty
have
late.
Seven servings of grain. No, you shouldn't.
G7, seven
USDA
grains.
Is lying to you. What the hell does it make any sense? It's way too many carbs.
I enjoyed the old food pyramid. It was great. It was like, well, if you just eat nothing but pasta all day, you'll be an extremely healthy
Tons
person.
Tons of bread. You know? So much bread needed. No. They have bingo up at the local dive at my cabin. And, if it's a rainy day and we have nothing to do outside, we will go do bingo.
Hell yes. I'd be in.
Very good time.
I would love it.
It's a fucking great time. Yeah.
I would love that. I'd be in. I think that sounds like a lot of fun. Sure.
You get like four boards going. You gotta be
it's too much
locked
no.
in, bro. Like I'm you gotta out. Be in.
No, I
you
can't
don't
do
need
that.
To, you don't need to. That's like no. an advanced That's an advanced strategy. You know, for you, I'd love to get you into just one board. And then I'd love to see by the end of that first day, two boards. I think you're a two board guy.
I'm not a two board guy. I can guarantee it.
Trust me, way too much.
And I'm not even a one board guy. I am.
You want to look on like my, like one of the kids that comes with like my 7 year old. Like you and me are going to do this together. Chicken Fingers 69.
I mean,
no, we only use the formal name.
I flit. Like a little chickadee. I can't, if I'm in a bar and drinking, I'm not going to sit there and concentrate. The hell's, it's what we do all week at jobs, right? You can't, that's not what I've been doing on the weekend too. Focus? No, I can barely focus as is. I want to have my beers and if there's something on TV, I want to focus on that. And then if somebody says something funny, I'm focusing on that. If some weirdo walks in, I want to focus on making fun of him.
Someone gets a line? I'm on that.
Move other things. I can't be focused on one
line.
Piece of card.
Just so you know, a pull tab line is what I meant by that.
I thought you were talking about Coke there for a second.
There was a little bit of a weird silence there of like, oh, Well, I don't know. hold on. It was a little goofy.
Whoa.
No, a pull tab really line. It was a callback.
Well, you people over there in the northwest suburbs, I don't know, maybe what you're up to every day. Maybe that's what you're into. That's cool.
Oh, boy. All right, cool. Let's move on. John, we have a bit from our old friend Stu.
Yes.
This is now going to be three straight weeks of a top six. He's got an intro that he likes to talk about. Why six? I don't know what it is. He's got it written down somewhere.
Stu somehow it has to be like a bartender most of the time in the summer. I don't quite understand. He has like a normal job, but he works for a brewery. And so in the summertime, he has to like work nights handing out beer. So it's been the top six. It was the top six songs from Appetite for Destruction the first week.
Mm-hmm.
And then last week it was the top six songs from, I've forgotten now.
Gin Blossoms. Yep.
Was it from a specific album or was it the top six? Mm-hmm. Gin Blossom,
I believe it was New
overall.
Miserable Experience, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I think that is right. And so this week we've got the top six Maggies. And because Stu is who he is, and politically speaking, it's just Maggie Thatcher six times in a row. He loves Margaret Thatcher.
Very quick bit.
It actually, at the end of the list, it does say here, if you're wondering where Maggie Thatcher is, the answer is hell. So
here we go. I'm just gonna say I can only think of two Maggies that I don't know personally.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm gonna see how many of if either of those two are name six famous Maggies.
No, I definitely don't know six famous Maggies. It's possible that a couple of them are, or maybe all of them are fictional.
I'm going to give you a preview. Oh. I would say
John doesn't even know.
Three of them are famous people. I'm just going to tell you right now, going into this top six list, three of them are famous people.
Okay.
And three are just people from Stu's hometown.
Like, yeah.
We'll just wait and see this list here.
Maggie Johnson.
Number six. Number six on the list of the top six Maggies. Maggie Simpson.
Okay.
And
that's one of the two that I have.
Stu has an explanation is from the cartoon. Yeah. Maggie Simpson.
So she got into the top six because she's in a cartoon.
That's right. But she's a character in a cartoon.
Because he needed six.
He needed six more than five. Yeah. Yeah. Because we care that much. I get it. Okay. Maggie Simpson. I think I'll allow that. That makes sense to me, I guess.
All right. Number five.
I've just thought of the line Homer when he gets the birth certificate. They hand him the birth certificate, Maggie's birth certificate, and he says, "Margaret, who the hell is that?" Oh, that's Maggie. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
All right, number five. I think this is actually Dame Maggie Smith, the British actress who's been in 1,000 movies and always looks like she's going to scold you for speaking such rubbish.
Yeah, yeah. Little grouchy.
Abbey, I think.
I think she was the Downton Abbey. She was the lady. She's like, what is a weekend when someone mentions weekend? Because that was the point of how rich she was. She didn't really understand what that meant.
Ah, British humor.
Yep.
You guys are not going to be surprised to hear this, but I never saw Downton Abbey.
I saw enough to see that line. And no, that was the best they could do. And that was it for me. It was pretty bad.
All right. Now, number four, I said three of them were famous people, but we're touch and go on this one. Cause number four is Maggie Siff. And Stu says she was Rachel on Mad Men and is apparently on the show Billions, which he hasn't watched. And again, you won't be surprised to find out. Neither have I.
Rachel. Okay. Would that be she was like the daughter of the clothing store owner?
Yes. Right? Yeah. Like early in the series run. Okay. So that girl's real name is Maggie. Oh, Jesus. Boy.
My God, Stu.
I feel like we're scraping the bottom of the barrel already.
We're scraping the bottom of the Maggie barrel.
All right.
All right. Number three is Maggie Gyllenhaal, who would have been the only Maggie that I could definitely name.
Yep. It was that and Simpson for me.
Yep. She was. Stu says She was in Donnie Darko. If you were in Donnie Darko, you make this list. Stu loves Donnie Darko.
I didn't think of her or Maggie Simpson. Huh. Okay.
Yeah, Donnie Darko. I don't know. Do you guys have thoughts on that? Have you seen it? Do you remember it?
I haven't seen
it. No, I've never seen Donnie Darko.
If I've seen it, I don't remember it.
Yeah, I think it was one of those like sarcastic air quote deep sort of movies that I didn't really understand.
Cultish.
Kind yep. of?
Yep. Would it qualify as a cult?
A cult classic.
Cult classic.
I think so. Okay.
Was Jake Gyllenhaal in Donnie Darko?
Yes. Yeah.
They're both Gyllenhaals.
Jake was the star of it. He was Donald. Yep.
Donald Darko.
Have you heard that they're remaking Roadhouse and Jake Gyllenhaal is going to be?
No. Come on.
Swayze? I just heard that today.
Jake Gyllenhaal?
Jake Gyllenhaal is like 45 years old. Isn't that supposed to be like a younger person?
Maybe he was supposed to play the Sam Elliott role, but I thought they were saying he's going to be.
Oh, okay. Shouldn't it be like Tom Holland? He'd be great at it.
Speaking of how old people are, I wanted to mention this. I forgot about it till right now, but I wanted to mention this to you guys tonight. So, you know, Vin Scully died yesterday, and obviously that's extremely sad. Even people who are, well, middle-aged like me and missed a lot of Vin Scully still love Vin Scully. Mm-hmm. And so someone posted the clip of him calling Kirk Gibson's home run in the 1988 World Series, one of his most famous calls. I think he was on the radio. I don't think he was on TV, but I'm sitting there watching this, and you know, Kirk Gibson limps up to the plate. Neither of his legs work anymore. Mm-hmm. He's totally disheveled. He looks like he's been smoking cigarettes in an asbestos factory for 3 years. Just absolutely looks utterly decrepit. You know how old Kirk Gibson was that year? Kirk Gibson was 31 years old.
Oh my God. That's a hard 31. That was a
I would have guessed. Rough. I mean, he looks like he's 55.
Yeah.
Just absolutely looks terrible. He's got a pot belly somehow.
I was going to say 36 is a joke, so you could say 38.
Yeah, no, he was 31.
My God.
Baseball, I mean, all sports have changed in this way, but baseball really, I think, has changed the most, that players discovered like nutrition and fitness in our lifetimes.
I think that the point you just made might be the best point of all of it. 31 years old Kirk Gibson hobbling up to. Jeez.
Very quickly. It is Jake Gyllenhaal remaking Roadhouse. Do you know? I could give you a million guesses at who his sidekick will be in the movie, who's been cast as his sidekick, who is his Sam Elliott. It's somebody you both know. It's a famous person. Mm-hmm. I can give you a million guesses. It is a man. It's not a trick in that sense.
Okay. It's a man we both know.
Is it Kirk Gibson?
Oh my God. This would be perfect. Is it Rocco Baldelli?
No. It's someone we both know. And it's
everybody.
But it's going to be ridiculous. Jonah Hill.
Pratt.
This person is closer to Kirk Gibson than he is to Chris Pratt.
Brett Favre.
Brad Pitt.
You are getting Brett Favre. He's closer to Brett Favre than to Kirk Gibson.
The Rock.
No, you're getting colder. think Brett Favre, you're getting closer with Brett Favre.
Brett Favre, I'm getting closer with Brett Favre.
Howie Long.
You're getting further away. You're getting too old.
Too old.
Tom Brady.
Conor McGregor.
Conor McGregor. Come on.
McGregor. I'm reading it right now.
Believe you. I'm just saying I'm out on the movie. I will not be seeing that.
Conor McGregor to make acting debut in Roadhouse remake alongside Jake Gyllenhaal.
It would have taken me a million guesses.
You never think I would have. Well, I could have kept going with tough guy, like fighter. You still wouldn't have. Mm-mm.
Mike Tyson, Mr. T.
Yeah. That's right. Okay. What are we at for the Maggies?
All right. We have
one left.
we're down. No, we got two left. Two to go.
You wish.
Maggie Gyllenhaal was number three. Number two is Maggie the dog. That is Stu's wife's dog when she was growing up. And he said he'll be in trouble if she's not on the list.
Now he's going to say Maggie May Rod Stewart, I believe, right?
Does that that's number one. Number one is Maggie May. Then he seems to be referring to the song because Maggie May is not a real person. And Stu says the mandolin part still wrecks.
Hell yes, at the end. Yes. Great. I'm going to, who was Maggie May? I'm going to look this up too.
If it's Margaret Thatcher, we're just this play, it's going to explode.
That is a good song, but I think it's a little too long for me. Sorry.
Because of all the mandolin?
Yeah.
Piece of shit.
Yeah, the mandolin, it's good for a couple seconds, and then time to move on. Sorry, mandolin.
Sorry, Chris Tile.
Right. I know that.
Unbelievably, I know a mandolin guy. Me, who doesn't know anything about anything.
So are we doing some extra recon about a Maggie character here? Is that what
I
we're
am?
Doing?
Yeah, Chicken it's fingers? Nobody famous. I was hoping it'd be like, I don't know. I was hoping it'd be like Muhammad Ali's second wife. So like, wait, what? Like,
It was Tani Katayan. No. Somehow.
It always comes back to Tani.
Nobody famous. It's the woman that took Rod Stewart's virginity at a music festival in like 1961.
Okay.
So it could have been Margaret Thatcher.
I think it could have been Muhammad Ali's second wife.
Could have rule any of them out.
Could be anybody. Those two are the prime suspects.
We're starting there. If we need to widen the search, we will, but
Kirk Gibson.
Conor McGregor. There's so many that it could be.
So many possible candidates.
Mandy's dog when she was a child. I mean, that's not
everybody's a suspect. We can't rule anyone out at all.
Yeah.
Rod Stewart has done a lot of drugs and a lot of crazy things. That's probably wouldn't even be in the top 10.
Oh.
That's right.
Great. Anyway, that's your top six. Top six. I don't think this one is going to occasion the level of vitriol that was thrown Stu's way for the previous two top six lists.
I think he sensed that the top six was getting to be a very popular, polarizing thing, and he needed to just dial it back a little bit with something so weird that nobody could ever argue.
It's both off the wall, and he made me read it instead of showing up and doing it himself.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, the heat. It's
Temp's I'd say the heat is off him for a week.
Temp's been lowered. Yep. Okay. We have run out of our topics, at least what I'm seeing on my agenda. You guys have anything else? Any sneak attack items?
No.
Kirk Gibson was my only one. That and Miguel Sano being one of two players in baseball history to strike out 1,000 times without coming to the plate 3,000 times.
Those were excellent sneak attacks. One thing that was happening on Twitter.com was we were talking about our favorite naps. I think we should do a nap draft next episode.
All right.
I'm
at the point of life where the only nap that I take is it's the weekend and I can take a nap, and I'm going to take a nap because I'm exhausted because I have young children nap.
Okay. Well, that's your top pick. That's fine. We'll see.
I'm not saying it's a top pick. I'm just saying what other naps are there at this point?
Okay, gotcha. You know, think about it a little bit. There's other naps.
How about not a nap guy, so I'll be like your Timberwolves. I just won't be a part of the draft.
How about the Brent Musburger nab in a running car, woken up by a police officer?
that's actually very common.
Does that count as a nap? Because then I am a napper.
Actually,
turns out I am a napper.
Huge napper. I think a nap needs to be purposeful. Yeah, I don't think it can be waiting at the drive-thru like a handful of athletes have been arrested. I think. I don't know.
Do you guys remember Timberwolves player Eddie Griffin?
He's a comedian, sure.
Was it Eddie? I think that name is right. Brandon, I need your help here.
Are you talking about the guy who did the thing in the car?
Yes. Got in a car crash because he was watching adult movies on a TV and a steering wheel, as I recall. This is what I remembered, and I wanted to check that with you.
Yeah, I would also just I'll say like he's dead, and so okay. It was kind of
we're really expanding.
He was a little bit of it wasn't like necessarily a funny thing. He was really had some real big issues in life, but yes, I do believe he was watching a movie while driving. And yes, I think he ran into something, got into a car accident for sure. Yep. Pretty embarrassing. One of the most embarrassing stories. Yeah, that's him. His name's Eddie Griffin. I just looked it up.
All right, there you
go. Confirmed.
What was your Google search to confirm that that was Eddie Griffin? I'm just curious.
Oh, that's
jerk off basketball player. There was like a 20 million results, but it was the top one. No, I just did Eddie Griffin basketball just to confirm. And yeah, it was
just to confirm that was his name.
Yep. Yep. So it looks like he was involved in a car crash. After the accident, he went into a nearby convenience store and told people he was drunk and didn't have his driver's license, and then asked them not to call the police. Spoiler alert, they called the police.
Yeah, no, they're gonna do that every time.
Yeah. Yep. He hit a train. That's how he died, with his car.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Doing the same thing? You'd think he'd learn his lesson.
Actually, it was... I mean, probably no real proof here. Yeah. Yep. That's a tough way to go. One of the toughest, I think, probably. Maybe. Who knows? Anyway, back to naps. We'll talk about them. Chicken, do you, you're not a nap guy. That's fine. I'm not really a nap guy either. How many naps would you say you take in a year?
Legit, we're not joking around about passing out in the car out in the yard or something like that.
Yeah, I mean,
like go watch, turn golf on and go on the couch on a Sunday type nap. You mean like a legit?
Yeah, I'll give you like a little bit of a pass out. Like I'm up at the cabin, we're all we've been day drinking. So long as the sun's still out, I'll consider that a nap.
Okay, one last question and then I'll answer. Mm-hmm. Does it have to be intentional or just sitting down, you're tired and you like maybe doze off for a half?
I initially thought it should be intentional. It does not have to be intentional. No way. Because a lot of them would be disqualified.
Okay. Hmm. Intentional naps, zero. Unintentional, let's say. Yeah, maybe half a dozen. That's probably okay. Even high. Four.
Okay. You get four a year. Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. I'm looking forward to the nap draft. It's going to be good. Okay, so next week, and I say a week, it may be months from now, nap draft. Another top six, I hope. What do we call them? Cabin beers? More cabin beer rankings, possibly.
Possibly.
And then some sports. Yeah. I don't know. Oh, we're going to do the Vikings soon, right? Because August. It's early August.
And we'll see if Brandon's house stays fine, by which he means has only had two of the rooms crushed or something.
Could you imagine tomorrow if Chicken goes to a bar and pulls like another 500? We just leave. Fuck this. We're done.
I do just text Brandon right away and tell him you got to get out of the house.
Just texting you a picture of it. I'm texting
you.
Go
somewhere you can't be found.
Not even stopping at home. Not even going to pack a bag.
And don't tell us where you're going.
I'll pack a go bag tonight just in case.
You'll find him.
Yep. Okay. Good chat as always. We'll see you all very soon. Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.